What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
I am so sick of being Josh Hadley on a Saturday night. Kat, are you sick?
Well, I'm sick of many, many things involving the human race, but I am not sick of this show just yet.
Just yet. That doesn't bode well. What about you? What about you, Chucky?
I'm sick with this, if that's what you mean. It's probably not what you mean, but, you know.
Because you've seen the topics we have for tonight.
Yeah.
Well, let's just start off with one relatively innocent thing with...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
How about the 14-year-old Pennsylvania boy who was arrested for having simulated oral sex with a statue of Jesus?
Before we get into anything, 100% honest, did you guys laugh at the picture?
Yes.
I did laugh at the picture, yes.
I totally laughed at the picture.
There's a statue of Jesus on his knees, like praying and whatnot, and he's got his mouth open. So the kid had a photo of himself taken, looking like Jesus is blowing him. He put it up on Facebook. And the cops went and arrested him for this. The state police came, and he was charged under a 1927 law that makes it a crime to, quote, desecrate a venerated object, unquote.
I don't know what a venerated object is, but it was definitely desecrated. Not gonna lie there.
Well, he didn't actually stick his dick in fake Jesus's mouth.
It nevertheless was inappropriate. I'm not saying it wasn't funny. Was it inappropriate? Probably to the people who erected it. Honestly, don't blame this kid. Actually, this is probably the millionth time that some kid has done this, and probably people have posted it to Facebook before. Why they have chosen to just now take action against it, who knows?
I think it was overreaction by the police, because they didn't say where this church was exactly, but the pastor of the church said he did not want the boy arrested and just said he was going to pray for the young man. So it wasn't the church that called the cops. It was somebody else. What does that say?
Probably some God-fearing churchgoer going, that cannot be allowed.
I'd like to go back a little bit to this venerated object shit. If you go on John Brown's Facebook feed to April 20th, wink, wink, you will find video footage of me dry humping a mechanical kangaroo. Now, for people that are not as into Jesus as you are, that's what it's like. Arresting someone for that is fucking preposterous. It's just a statue. It was not actually Jesus. It's meant to be offensive, yes, because that kid has an offensive sense of humor. And again, I laughed at that photo very hard because it wasn't just like standing there, my dick is in Jesus' mouth. He was like getting into it. He looked like he was really like owning that shit. You know what I mean?
And he's looking at 2 years in jail for fake humping a Jesus statue. But let's talk about something else about this. Both you and Charlie brought this up, Kat. Why would this be a venerated object over, say, a statue of a fish or something?
Well, it's the Jeebus. Everybody loves the Jeebus.
Well, because venerate means, literally, regard with great respect or to revere.
Like, say you had a really nice statue of a golden calf.
What about that statue that the Satanic Church has erected in Oklahoma? Can that not be a venerated object?
That goat's head thing?
Yeah, Baphomet. Is that not a venerated object?
I'm not a Satanist at all, but that was a badass statue.
It looked like something off of an 80s album cover, honestly.
Yeah, just aesthetically.
Something I would fight in D&D.
It was kind of awesome. Yeah, it was like a Minotaur from fucking D&D.
And I just love the police in this. The police, quote, investigated the incident and decided to move forward with arresting the boy. What does that mean? It's there. Is the investigation looking at his Facebook and going, yep, that's a photo of him trying to have Jesus blow him. All right, let's arrest him.
What I think happened with that.
Let's go door to door and find some witnesses.
Yeah, with the investigation.
Mr. Christ, were you in fact at this time? Look, how do you investigate it?
Did you swallow Mr. Christ?
I think someone told him, hey, there's a picture of this on Facebook, and he thought, I'd better investigate, so he logged on to Facebook. End of investigation.
I think you're overusing the term investigate. That's not the wrong term. Looked into, maybe. Not investigate. Yeah.
It's kind of a grandiose term for looking at a photo of something and seeing exactly what it is.
Exactly. Well, let's move from that to the week we're recording this. We just celebrated the 13th anniversary of September 11th, if celebrate's the right word.
We've marked it.
Yes. Well, an Arlington, Virginia yoga studio is coming under fire for how they celebrated September 11th. They decided to have 9 plus 11 equals 20% off Patriot Day sale. People were not happy about this.
Patriot what now? Patriot pants?
Patriot Day. That's actually what the government has officially called September 11th now. It's Patriot Day.
Patriot Day. We have that and it's called the 4th of fucking July. Wait, so a yoga? Wait, I'm so confused about what they're offering 20% off of.
Is everything.
Like, 9 yoga, plus like... 11.
9 plus 11 equals 20%.
Yes, you'll never forget the savings.
You'll never forget the savings. Oh my God. Like, I just want to know what person had that error between the chair and the computer that allowed this to even happen in the first place. Because clearly somebody who was responsible for going onto the internet and posting a sale was obviously consciously recognizing that it was a special day, but at the same time, not really realizing what made the day special.
It was the owner of the yoga studio named Burkham Arlington, and yeah, he very, very quickly apologized for it.
Burkham Arlington.
Yes.
A couple of things about him. It was not just a yoga studio. This is one of the stories that I read. It was a hot yoga studio. I don't know if you guys know what that is, but I looked into it. Hot yoga is essentially just hurting your legs in the biggest cloud of swamp ass that you have ever encountered in your life. It's simply yoga with the temperature turned way up. Some people think this is a good idea. These are stupid people that think this is a good idea, and this is how this guy has chosen to make his living. So not all of his dogs are barking right off the bat. In addition to that, I think it was just, I don't know, yoga people in general smoke a lot of pot, so sometimes they make very ill-advised decisions. This, I don't know, I don't think he has anyone in his life to take him aside and say, hey, don't fucking do this, this is stupid.
I saw this on an interesting news site called Consume and Obey. It's a Tumblr site you should check out. And they linked to the local ABC affiliate. And yeah, people were fucking pissed.
Mm-hmm.
I might be insensitive here. It's 13 years later. I know September 11th is still a sensitive issue, but to get that pissed over a fucking tweet, over a sale at a hot yoga studio, is that just looking for something to be offended by? You have not venerated this day enough! See, I'm using that word now because it's in our lexicon.
Yep, it's now the parlance of our times.
I think somebody just made a really dumb, probably pot-induced mistake. And honestly, I get where people are coming from. I really do, because it's still probably going to take a little while longer before we can start having, President's Day sales for Patriot Day. It's going to be a while, and it is not now. Now is not the time to be doing it. But I think this guy's just ahead of the curve. He's there. He's waiting for it. He's ready. He's ready to be the future.
I think that's exactly what he thinks. You guys are just jealous you didn't think of it.
Well, let's move to New York then. How about the New York police racism? Three black men were accused of possessing methamphetamines when they walked out of a candy store called It's Sugar on Coney Island because cops thought their Jolly Ranchers were meth crystals. The cops lied on every level. The cops arrested these people, all black, for their meth, and said that they tested the meth. They did a field test to make sure it was meth. By the way, the NYPD says there is no field test for meth. There was no probable cause other than three black men. What does this say that now black men can't even have Jolly Ranchers without going, that might be meth?
Well, the name of the place sounds like brilliant satire. Like, if they're asking the cops later, like, oh my God, what was the candy store called? It's Sugar? Yeah, it really was. They were telling the cops, it's sugar. I think Breaking Bad has set an unrealistic expectation for what stupid people think meth is.
It's true.
And what it looks like. I mean, because those cops probably, they were probably Blue Raspberry Jolly Ranchers, and they're like, oh, that's that Heisenberg shit.
I think this is just straight out racism. They saw three black men that they wanted to accuse, and they thought, meth. We'll use meth to harass the Negroes today.
When you take racism and add stupidity and add authority, That equals a lot of the horrible shit that happens in this world.
The police claim that they, quote, had no way of knowing if the little blue and red rocks were candy or meth, so they had to arrest the men to test them.
The Jolly Rancher wrappers that were over the Jolly Rancher candy were not a dead giveaway. How is that not the biggest dead giveaway ever?
See, Kat, that's because you're not thinking this through. That's the clever way that they're smuggling it in Jolly Rancher's wrappers.
Oh, duh. That makes so much sense. I haven't heard about that because I don't watch Breaking Bad or, you know, CSI or some dumb show that makes up shit.
Kat, don't you think this was just straight out racism and the cops trying to cover their ass after?
The cops aren't covering their ass after because their bosses threw them under the bus.
Well, I mean, the officers in question tried. Their bosses kicked them out and was like, nope, not flying. But the officers tried.
You know, God bless them. They tried. We'll give them a gold star that says, you tried, as we hopefully do something terrible to them that involves them not having jobs anymore.
Isn't it just horrifying that between racism and stupidity, we're all saying, please be stupidity?
That is terrible.
This is a lesser of two evils situation, I think.
But actually, isn't stupidity and racism kind of tied together?
Yeah, I think stupidity and racism are always tied together. It's just the more stupidity means the less hatred. Like, if...
hatred is caused by stupidity.
It is. The hatred is caused by stupidity, but I'm hoping they legitimately first thought the candy was meth before they said, let's just arrest some black guys.
Well, let's move from that to our final topic this segment. Ted Cruz, as we're recording this, Citizens United is still a thing. Citizens United is basically corporations are people. And as we've discussed before, while they have all the rights of people, they don't have the same, they aren't held to the same standard of people. Tea Party conservative Ted Cruz says that the people who are trying to overturn Citizens United, that this will have far more reaching effects than you think. Because if Citizens United is overturned, then therefore, legally, no corporation in America can engage in any kind of political debate or political endorsement. Therefore, NBC, which is a corporation owned by Comcast, would have to cancel Saturday Night Live because anytime Saturday Night Live would do a political sketch making fun of someone like Ted Cruz, it would be therefore political speech and therefore illegal.
Political satire is protected by the First Amendment, which has fuck all to do with anything having to do with Citizens United. Don't know what the fuck Ted Cruz is talking about.
It's so weird that he picked that of all things. That's like his way of saying, hey, all you liberals watch this show. See what your liberal overlords are trying to do. They're trying to get rid of something you liberal.
In a way, it's actually
a weird target.
But in a way, it's actually kind of brilliant. Because he is trying to wrap something, because he's trying to make you afraid of overturning Citizens United if you're so dumb that you listen to Ted Cruz.
That's why it's a weird target. I'm like, you're trying to make people who aren't on your side afraid of their own kind, in a sense, and you're preaching to the wrong choir. Like, it's such a poor choice. Like, you could have said anything else, talk about corporate sponsorship for anybody else, and it would have made more sense. But this was like a weird place for them to turn because it was never going to work.
In a strange way, it shows how desperate they are to not have Citizens United overturned, though, doesn't it?
Yes. I mean, it does scream of desperation.
And I think that's a good thing because that shows we've got them on the ropes. Citizens United needs to be overturned. It truly does. And I think, maybe I'm wrong on this, I think the Fairness Doctrine should be brought back. But some people consider that unconstitutional, and they weren't 100% wrong.
I just think this is Ted Cruz using the basest, most McCarthy-esque fucking scare tactic that, oh my God, it's baffling how stupid this is. This might as well be like a 1950s health class film strip talking about how communism can make you homosexual.
It doesn't?
Not that I'm aware of.
I mean, there's a little subsection, you know, some very fine print that basically says that, I'm sure.
Yeah, like it could be called The Red Menace Will Make You Pink or something like that.
So then what if an Indian is gay? Is that the literal Red Menace?
It's the Red Man-ass.
All right, jokes. On that note, I'm quitting for a while. We're gonna take a break, and when we come back, we get to talk pedophiles. Lots and lots of pedophiles.
That is all organic.
You can't write segues like that.
So normally this is where Hart Fisher comes in and rants for about 10 minutes incoherently. So I needed to find somebody while Hart is busy who is equally as cantankerous, who has opinions that are as equally politically incorrect as Hart's. So I naturally thought of my friend Pete Chiarella, a.k.a. 42nd Street Pete.
Hey, dude, how you doing, man?
It's been better. And you know it's been better, but this is about, you, though.
It's about me. Oh, I can rant and rave about anything that fucking pisses me off. I can curse on this or no?
Fuck yes. The show's called What the Fuck, yes.
Okay, well, you have like several shows, so I don't know. I know some we can't curse on, some we can.
So what has climbed up your ass this week, Pete?
Actually, a lot of things, but, you know, first and foremost, as you know, we are on issue 4 of Grindhouse Purgatory, which is available on Amazon as we speak. And I just put the order in for our shit, so we'll have that. But I just, you know, all this internet critic shit just pisses me off, you know, to no end, because those people are not bona fide critics. They're just, you know, guys that can, you know, do whatever they want to do. They create their little $2 website, and then they are all overwhelmed with their sense of self-importance. And then they like to bash everybody else who's actually doing something. You know what I mean?
I do, but at the same time, I'm a very harsh critic who doesn't really say a lot of positive things either. So you kind of just described me too.
Yeah, but you have, you know, you've been in the business. People know who you are. You know what I'm saying?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, me too. I get that too. But, you know, a lot of these people, you know, if it wasn't for the internet, you know, they'd still be sweeping floors, you know, at a janitorial service or something like that. You know the one I'm talking about. I don't even want to give him, you know, lip service, you know, the Amazon one. And then there's a few other ones. But, you know, it doesn't really fucking matter, because I'm not out to please anyone. And you know that. And neither are you, because you write for the mag. What we have done here, and what pisses me off, is because most of the barbs are aimed at me personally, which just shows how fucking great a critic you are, because, you know, the magazine's a joint effort. I smoke the joint, you guys do the effort, you know? But you know what I'm saying? It's not just me. I open the door for you to come in. Corey Alder, who actually, you know, writes screenplays with Ted Michaels. This issue, we were really lucky. We got Gary Kent to contribute a piece. We have an interview with Ted Michaels that it seems like Fangoria wanted. So we got some really good shit going on. And it just, you know, it just pisses me off that we're, you know, it's not going to affect anything I do. It's just aggravating because, like I said, we don't need these people. You know, nobody, this isn't paying anybody's bills, this magazine. This is done basically to keep what we feel the Grindhouse is alive. And of course, you know, the magazine was dedicated to the late, great Andy Kopp, who unfortunately is no longer with us, but really, really wanted to be in, you know, the initial thought that we had for putting a magazine together anyway.
So. And see, like, the way I've always looked at, like, the internet critics in general is, like, the people who criticize my work or whatnot, and they have every right to criticize my work, they'll use terms like incompetent. And I'm like, and you've done what for the industry? You have how many shows? You've written for how many magazines? Oh, none. Shut up.
Yeah, and did you hear any shit about why you even bothering with a print magazine? Because I have.
I've heard about that. I personally do not in any way subscribe to the print is dead model, and I will do everything I can to fight against the print is dead model.
Well, that's why we're doing this, because you know what the beauty of the whole thing is? And, you know, I got to thank Mike Watt for that, because he's the one who hooked it up with the whole print on demand. There are no freebies with this thing, and I don't take paid advertising. I give ads to people who you know, do cool shit. Like, we got the whole back covers, you know, Grindhouse releasing. Look at all the great shit they've done. And anybody else who throws it, I put an ad in there. They've done good stuff. So the beauty of the whole thing is I only have X amount of issues printed up, because the magazine basically comes out the same time Snow Wasteland rolls around. So I only have, you know, 100 issues printed up. After that 100 issues, you got to buy them on Amazon. So basically, these people that are, you know, trashing me, you, or whatever through the magazine have to pay to trash us. That's the beauty of it.
Wisely, you've decided to not put the articles up online, which is, like, initially when I started to write for Hustler, I got irritated that I couldn't show people the work if they didn't buy the magazine. But then I realized that's a good business model. The articles in the magazine are exclusive to the magazine. And I think that's a good business model, that you're not putting them up online, because why would people buy the magazine if they can get it for free online?
No, yeah, exactly. That's the whole deal. Everybody gives the shit away, and you've basically watered down the product. And, you know yourself what the magazine about. It's ballsy. It's in your face. We don't take any fucking prisoners. We don't give a shit what anybody thinks. You know, we're covering a lot of shit that nobody else is. I mean, how many guys have even covered Woody Strode or Lee Van Cleef, or any of these people, in any kind of depth? I can't think of anybody.
The only ones I could think of would maybe be Shock Cinema or Video Watchdog, maybe.
Yeah, but he likes to get interviews. Unfortunately, you know, you can't get interviews because these guys are gone.
Well, there's always Ouija boards.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like I should have a convention with all deceased celebrities. I said I got the Ouija board because they're all said they're coming, so buy your tickets, you know?
You know what? You'd probably get a few motherfuckers that would attend that and pay for it. You really would.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's marks out there for everything.
Now, you've got an issue with the internet critics, but what about the positive reviews you've got? You seem to be focusing on the negative when I know the magazine has gotten positive reviews as well.
I didn't see any. Where are they?
Well, I've had people just tell me. I've had people like, hey, I like the magazine, or, you know, hey, I bought this and I really enjoyed it and whatnot. Maybe they're not on websites saying it, but there are people who like the magazine.
Oh, I realize that because it's selling. And I, you know, the weird part was when this crap first started with the Amazon thing, I honestly think that him drawing the attention to it, that the magazine's angry, I'm an angry person, this and that and the other thing. I'm not an angry person. I just fucking tell it like it is. That's all. If you take that as anger, too bad. But I tell it like it is. And yeah, there's probably venom in my voice, but look what's going on today. You know, nothing's fucking right. So yeah, there's venom behind it. Bob Murawski from Grindhouse Releasing said it's one of the best things that's come out since I think Deep Red or something like that. So
have you ever thought about trying to move beyond the print on demand thing and maybe try to get it into certain newsstands or anything like that? Or are you satisfied with where it is now?
I think I'm good where it is because they can buy it off of me. And, you know, actually, how many freestanding bookstores or newsstands are there left? Hardly any.
There's still quite a few.
Not around here. I mean, you know, if you got it in Barnes & Noble, that's one thing. But see, it would never fly in Barnes & Noble because of the content.
Does Barnes & Noble, I know they carry Playboy. Do they carry, like, Hustler and shit like that? Or
I don't know if they carry Hustler, but they carry Shock, Fangoria, Rue Morgue, Horror, you know, all the usual suspects. You know, the only one in there is Shock. That's the only one you can actually read. That one actually sells.
I personally, I like Horror Hound a lot. I think Horror Hound is quite a good magazine, in all honesty.
Well, I don't even want to get into where I go on that one because I approached them to write for them. I approached him and Scars at the same time. Scars was very cool. Okay, they never said shit to me. You know, whether you suck, go fuck yourself, whatever. And then I was at one show where they were set up. They walked over and picked up an issue with Scars, and he just dropped it in disgust and walked away. And I'm like, you know something? Fuck you, really.
I actually tried to write for Horror Hound as well, and I kind of got the same dead silence. That was my response, was dead silence. Like, yeah. We're not even going to justify, we're sorry, you know, one of those. Because most magazines that I approach that turn my work down, they at least give you a, we don't feel it's right, or some kind of a stock answer. Horror Hound was dead silence. It's like, that's just rude.
Yeah, I know. Well, you see, you know how I work, and I give everybody a fucking chance. As a matter of fact, I pulled some of my shit back so other people could get in on this one. Because we got some great shit on this. Dr. Rhonda Bauman interviewed the three original Scream Queens. So we got some great shit on that. So I would gladly step aside and let somebody in who has something different to offer. I mean, I got enough stuff in there. And actually, these guys did me a favor because now I don't have to kill myself for issue 5. I got enough ammunition left to fill that one on my own stuff. So you guys got to step up now.
Well, then tell people where they can order this if they would like to get a copy of Grindhouse Purgatory 4 or 1, 2, and 3, honestly.
They're all available on Amazon on print on demand. Just type in Grindhouse Purgatory.
I write for the magazine, whether that's a deterrent or an adherent, I'm not sure. But
I just heard 7 dial switch right there.
Yeah, people like, oh, fuck that. Nope. Not doing it. I'm sure you just had canceled orders. But now, if we want to hear Pete, where can we find you?
Where can you find me? You can find me every Friday night at 8 p.m. Central on Short and Sweet with 42nd Street Pete. Sometimes we go a half hour. Like last week, we had Graydon Clark on. We went a full hour. And this week, we're going to have Goretta Garrett on. So I figure that's going to be an hour, too. You'll never know who we're going to have on. You know, usually, it's sometimes just me throwing around. But, you know, and doing basically what we're doing here, ripping it, ranting and raving. But, you know, you never know who I'm going to have on. You know, Gary Kent's been a regular, Bud Cardos, Ted Michaels. I'm going to bring back some wrestlers pretty soon, too. I got a few people I got to give a shout to. But it's always a good time, you know, and it's not that dreary 10 o'clock spot that I used to have, you know, on Saturday night when I had to basically slap myself in the face to stay awake or sober up or whatever. So, yeah, it's all good.
So Jackalope Radio, Friday nights, Short and Sweet with 42nd Street Pete.
8 p.m. Eastern, I guess 7 p.m. Central, and then, you know, whatever the fucking time zones are, because I don't pay attention to them.
sucks. I hear him laughing at you. Consolidation. Let it crawl while I see you sneeze. Contemplate your fate for a while. Now you're mad at who you're burning things. It's all a fantasy. Clarence got the open. A thousand fingers reach out for you.
Guys, think about pedophilia. Is pedophilia something that we need to deal with in this country? Is it something that's out of control? Are there too many pedophiles that are trying to normalize pedophilia?
I'd like to think that no matter what happens, we're not going to normalize pedophilia. I don't hear too much about people trying to normalize it, but it's surely happening somewhere. The whole slippery slope argument is surely happening somewhere.
Any case of pedophilia is out of control. It's one of the most unforgivable things you can do as a human being.
How about trying to pass pedophilia off as just a subset of homosexuals because you hate homosexuals, like the Catholic League for Religious and Civil Rights president Bill Donahue did?
I don't even think you had to say Catholic. Like, it was just implied.
I would like to say that you lisping the word Catholic was fucking genius.
Yeah, I couldn't say it right. I'm gonna quote Bill Donahue here. Now, first of all, what he's talking about is New York Times did an editorial about sexual abuse in the Catholic Church, specifically referring to Archbishop Joseph Wesolowski, who had been abusing a whole bunch of young boys. So, quoting Donahue, "The Times erred again by repeating the myth of a pedophilia scandal. 100% of the victims were male. 81% of the victims were male, and 78% were post-pubescent. That would make it a homosexual scandal. Indeed, less than 5% of those cases involve actual pedophilia. The boys the Archbishop abused were teenagers, meaning that homosexuality, not pedophilia, was in play. That distinction is important," unquote.
Yes, that distinction is important if it had anything to do with this case, but there is no distinction in this case. Like, no, seriously, there's so much wrong with what this guy said. Like trying to make this about the demon homosexual blah, 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 and not about what it is, which is somebody taking advantage of young people. It doesn't matter that they have body hair in certain places or that their voice cracked one time. They are still children by law. You don't get to pretend like it's not something that it is. This is fucking ridiculous.
That's how bad pedophilia is. When a Catholic is trying to use homosexuality as a cover, that's how bad pedophilia is. I don't know if you guys know this about Catholics. They fucking hate homosexuals a lot.
And this, I think, is an indicator of that, because he's going out of his way to say, see, this is a homosexual scandal, not pedophilia. Stop calling it pedophilia just because, you know, all of the kids were underage. It's homosexual. So is what he's trying to say—
underage means child, you jackass.
Well, I'm just wondering, but let's get a distinction here. If it were heterosexual, so if the Archbishop had abused a 15-year-old girl, then that would be pedophilia, but a 15-year-old boy being abused is just homosexuality. Am I getting that right?
Yes, that is exactly what this guy is trying to say. And that's disgusting and wrong.
Well, how about just this week, the Duck Dynasty people are all into pedophilia. Phil Robertson gave a speech where he said, and I can't believe I'm about to say this.
What the fuck? I did not read this one before the show.
Phil Robertson said that you need to marry girls at around 14, 15, or 16 years of age. That way you can train them to be real women. If you wait until they're in their 20s or 30s, then they're already independent and it's going to be that much harder to break their spirits.
Jesus Christ.
You said this for real?
Yes.
This isn't an Onion article or a satire or something written
MSNBC,
by space aliens.
So I guess it's about as real as MSNBC, if how much we can trust them. That yes, you need to train your women to not be independent, and you need to break their spirit, kind of like you would a breaking a horse.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's saying.
Do they still have a show?
They do.
Take away their fucking show, okay? The only thing worse than these idiots spouting off their hateful bullshit is us willingly giving them a platform on which to do it. Why the fuck do these people have shows?
I don't know, but they basically said you need to start marrying girls when they're underage, because then that way you can control them better. Because, I mean, women, they shouldn't have any rights. You know what? I'm not even talking to you the rest of the show, Kat. You don't have no rights.
You can't see it, but I'm giving you the finger.
That's fair enough.
It's such a shame this is just audio and not video.
I can't see it, but I can vaguely feel it.
She's sticking it up my ass.
The malice.
Let's go to a different type of pedophilia. Unintentional pedophilia. Okay, photographer Wyatt Newman was on a 2-week road trip with his 2-year-old daughter. And his 2-year-old daughter was uncomfortable. You know, he's a photographer, so he was taking photos the whole time. His 2-year-old daughter was uncomfortable in her dress and took her dress off. So just innocently, he with his daughter, she was naked. And he took some photos of this, and he uploaded them to his Instagram, and now he's being labeled a child pornographer. There is an organization called Get Off Our Internets that has targeted him. He has found his daughter's picture on pedophile websites. Pedophiles have emailed him thanking him for photos of his daughter, admitting that they've jacked off to his 2-year-old daughter jumping around naked on their hotel room bed. Is this pedophilia? Is this child pornography? Or is this just a dad who didn't think this through?
This is an artist who made what many would consider a very poor decision. kind of where he's coming from with wanting to capture moments, capture the innocence of childhood with his daughter, who he loves very much. One of the facts is your kids are going to be naked, and that's perfectly normal for kids. Uploading them to the internet, not such a great idea. There is a degree of, you know, wanting to express yourself artistically and show off and be proud of your child in any state of dress or undress. And then there's completely underestimating the monster that is the internet. And I think he really, really underestimated what people's reactions were going to be. Is it fair? No, it's not. It's not anybody's fault that that's what happened.
Should he be labeled a child pornographer, though?
No. God, no. He didn't upload it for the sake of people jacking off to it. He didn't upload it for distribution somewhere. He didn't upload, you know, anything sexualized. It's other people who choose to interpret nudity, even in a child, as something sexual. That's not his fault.
Charlie, as the father of a daughter, your thoughts?
I pretty much agree with Kat. I do not think this guy is a child pornographer, but I don't think he's completely innocent of everything. He made, like, very stupid decisions. He definitely should not have uploaded any pictures of his daughter to the internet, because the internet is fucking crazy. Like, this is something my daughter told me today. She started a new school this year, and a friend of hers was asking her about her dog, and she said, well, I don't have a dog, but my dad does. His name is Steve. What does he look like? And she Googled pug, looked for a while, and found a picture not of the breed, but of actually fucking Steve that she had taken on her phone. And it sent to someone in a multimedia. Everything uploaded to the internet is and can be viewed by anybody in the world. I don't think it's a good idea for him to upload pictures of his two-year-old daughter without any clothes to the internet, because the world's full of sick fucking people. And if anyone can find it, they're going to find it. I think the reason why he did it, though, is because I saw the other pictures, like the landscapes and shit. He's a very good photographer. He's probably been doing this for a really long time. It's vanity on his part. He is in photographer mode. He's like, everyone, look at the, look at the iris.
Look at the beautiful little human I created.
Exactly. Look at the depth of field in this picture. It's just a photography thing. He wants to show everybody the pictures that he took.
This even goes back, remember in the 90s, the Robert Mapplethorpe nonsense? I know you know that, Charlie.
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, remember one of the photos Robert Mapplethorpe was getting in trouble for was a photo of an underage boy, naked, sitting on a bed with his legs spread apart. It was a family friend, and it was not meant to be sexualized at all. Even the victim in that case came forward and said he didn't feel victimized at all. His parents were friends with Robert Mapplethorpe, and it was just like, you know, just like his mom took a photo of him when he happened to have no clothes on. It just, this one ended up in an art gallery. I don't think Robert Mapplethorpe was a pornographer. The finger and the penis, that's a little over the line, but I don't think he was a pornographer.
I was going to say, this story is a less finger-penis-y version of Robert Mapplethorpe's story.
But I mean, you know, Robert Mapplethorpe was a brilliant photographer. He just kind of went outside the norm for his photography. I don't think this guy was a pedophile, unlike Stephen Link, the owner of the used bookstore 5 minutes from my house. He had a bookstore called Untitled, Rare Books. I've sold books there before. I've bought magazines from him before. I worked on a movie with this guy. We were both PAs on the movie Feed the Fish with Tony Shalhoub. And then I find out that, he and one of his friends have been arrested for terabytes and terabytes full of child porn on hard drives and hidden cameras installed in the bathroom. I've used the bathroom at Untitled before. What?
There are terabytes and terabytes of Josh Hadley in the bathroom.
I only did it like twice. I mean, you maybe get a minute and a half unless you're going to be duplicating it. All I did was pee.
How many times does he shake?
How many times do you shake before it's actually playing with yourself? I don't understand the pathology of a pedophile. I don't understand how someone can jack off to a picture of a two-year-old. How someone can get off on hidden camera peeing footage. I don't understand the pathology of this. In fact, I go the opposite way. I'm into the MILF stuff. I think like a 30-year-old woman is the most beautiful thing. I don't understand this whole I like them underage thing. I don't get it. What's the pathology of this?
I don't understand it either. It's just, got to be just a sick, deep-rooted psychological thing. It's just fucked up. But that's what I'm talking about, man. That's how suddenly one of the fucking monsters can pop up anywhere. You've used this bathroom. You knew this guy. He was in the same room as Tony Shalhoub, and he's a fucking degenerate pig monster. Oh my God, the internet is going to destroy civilization.
Once again, I always say this, and this is my defense of weird, kinky, fetishy hentai shit, but I'd rather people have it in some form of fiction than to have it in any form in real life. This is why there's weird porn that you can find online, and this is why there's, you know, dungeons you can go to, because you want to take whatever you find kind of kinky and whatever you're into, you need to have it controlled. And this is so wrong. This is endangering real people. So when you watch some fake ass fucking porn on the internet, that's one thing. But when you have real people who are non-consenting parties, that's levels of wrong. And then to add the element of children who, even if they could consent, they wouldn't understand. You know, like they can't consent to this sort of thing. Nobody would consent to this sort of thing. It's levels of wrongness. And it's disgusting to think about. And I get somewhere in some culture, that's probably okay. And, you know, maybe 100, 200 years ago, whenever we married girls off at 16 or 14 or whatever. But in this day and age, in this country where this took place, it is not okay.
Well, and then you also have just the fact of, like, the NAMBLA people are trying to say, well, homosexuality got taken off the mental illness list. We want pedophilia seen as a normal thing. And I'm going, no, it is not normal to lust after children. That's not normal. That's sick. You people are sick. And you need to be put away. Because here's the thing about sexual urges, whether it's homosexuality, heterosexuality, pedophilia, whatever. They can't be stopped. You can't rewire a pedophile. He's always going to be into children. And that's the problem. You can't just – I don't think you can sate them with just seeing, you know, anime pedophiles or CGI pedophilia. They're always going to want it more. Charlie, I think you can attest, just watching lots of porn doesn't mean you don't want actual sex, does it?
No, it does not.
So, and you cannot rewire these people. They are always going to be a danger to society. Always. You can't just, well, they're medicated. They're always going to have these urges. And no, it's not the same as homosexuality, which is a consenting sexual act between two men or two women. A child legally and morally can never consent to a sexual act. That's the way I feel about it.
I really can't follow that up. It's like we've all kind of agreed. It's disgusting and it's wrong and it shouldn't happen. And yet it still seems to happen all the time.
The one conservative viewpoint that I probably have is my belief in the death penalty. So I appeal to conservatives to knock off all this every life is sacred shit. And I think this should be added to the death penalty. I agree with Josh. They cannot be rewired. They're a danger if they're alive. They should be put down.
Well, you know who's not a danger? That's Charlie McMullen. Where can people find him?
You can find me on Twitter at Charlie McMullen and Facebook and geekjuicemedia.com.
Kat is not a danger to anybody except herself, possibly. Where can we find her?
I definitely. You can find me talking about much happier, cheerful topics over on Twitter at LabyrinthCat and Facebook.com/NerdistCat and over on That Guy with the Glasses on the podcast tab on my other show, Nerd to the Third Power.
And you can find me probably somewhere pissing on some weird fetish website, because I don't know if they ever uploaded it or not. You can also go to 1201beyond.com or contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. And remember, go buy a t-shirt at 1201beyond.com.
morning, nibbling at the bar and bartering for food for another day. Rifle shots ring out behind the crumbling buildings, executions have begun. We're all in the square today, is broken bodies, lives have been clean if you're thirsty and quick. Rifles in their pockets, be it not the clothes, where a cell when you wash out the blood. Run, my little brother, run to the chicken farm. Opportunity is calling, you might even find a watch. We're going down to the chicken farm. We're going down to the chicken farm. We're going down.
Is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.